Okay. All right, this week, Sedra is Parshas Yisro. There is a discussion in the various Mefarshim as to what point Yisro underwent conversion, whether initially when he first came, or later, or after Matan Torah, I'm going to follow what I think is the simple reading of the Chumash, and the simple reading of the Chumash, I think, is that when you read the Chumash, the Yisro underwent Geirus after he met again, I should say, after he had his meeting with Moshe. And the Torah says, "Vayisaper Moshe lechosno." Moshe mentioned to his father-in-law, "Es kol asher asa Hashem lefaro lemitzrayim," everything that God did to Pharaoh and Mitzrayim, as kol hatla, and all the trouble that befell them on their way, that meaning for it to the Jewish people, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescued them and gave them salvation. And Yisro then responds, "Vayichad Yisro." So the simple reading is, now take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "Lekarvo leTorah." Why did Moshe go over and tell this to Yisro? Was to bringing him closer to Torah. Now, there are two ways to understand this medrash. The simple reading the simple reading would be that Yisro was that Moshe was in a sense trying to impress him with the importance of Torah in order for him to go through Geirus. But this, of course, presents a problem, because we know that the halacha is that one is not allowed to go out to seek Geirim. On the contrary, the halacha is that if one wants to go to be Megayer, initially one wants to undergo Geirus. If one wants to undergo conversion to Judaism, we try, in a sense, to dissuade him initially. And we see, the Medrash tells us, even though that's not brought down, la halacha, that Naomi pushed Rus. Naomi pushed Rus. Do you hear? No. Is it clearer now? That Naomi pushed Rus initially when Rus. Okay. That Naomi pushed Rus to try initially to dissuade her from going through Geirus, but it was because of Rus's persistence that finally Naomi consented that Rus should undergo Geirus. So you see, the halacha and the Gemara mentions that those who go trying to arrange for Geirus, those who try to go out and proselytize, as some of the religions do. And they seek converts rather than have the converts come to them. So the Gemara tells us that a person like that is cursed because that's not the appropriate manner. The appropriate manner is that the ger has to initiate. The person who wants to undergo conversion has to initiate the process of geris. So the question is, how is it that over here, by Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to bring Yisro closer to Torah? In other words, if we assume that at this point Yisro had not undergone Geiris as of yet, so how was Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to try to inspire him to undergo Geiris? What does L'karva L'Torah mean? L'karva L'Torah, the simple explanation would be for him to accept the Torah, to undergo conversion. So, and also, the Torah says that he talked about, it doesn't say here that Moshe gave him a lecture about the halachos, about the mitzvos, although it's possible that he did that also, but the Torah emphasizes that he talked to him about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. So it seems that he wanted, in a sense, to inspire him to become part of the Jewish people. That's what it means, L'karvo L'Torah, to bring him close to the Torah. But this is not in consonance with the halacha the way we know it. So we have to understand. So if we say, and I'll mention alternative explanations if we have time, but if we understand Rashi from the perspective of trying to inspire him to go through Geiris, it seems that's not in accordance with the halacha. The way we do Geiris, or the way we should do Geiris. Now, there is many, many years ago, in the late 1800s, there was a dispute. There was a situation in New Orleans, in the United States. And what happened there was, though, unfortunately, there were many Jewish men that were married to non-Jewish women. And the men that were married to non-Jewish women wanted to have the Moalim, those who did the circumcision, to perform bris milah, to perform a circumcision on their children whose mother were not Jewish. And in many of the cases, it's really very, very strange, considering the fact that the medical profession at that time was somewhat backward, but the non-Jewish wives of these Jewish men, they allowed, and it seems it wasn't one individual case, it seems that there were many such cases, they would allow the child to have circumcision, and that was before circumcision became a regular medical practice, I think. But they would not allow the bringing of the child to the mikveh. to undergo to complete the Geirus. So at that time, the rabbis of New Orleans decided that any Moab who performs these circumcisions, no one should use them to perform bris milah on their children. And at that time, and this was reported in apparently what was the Anglo-Jewish newspaper of the time, the Israelite. And Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, was a Talmud of Rav Itzel of Alojner. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, he read the article in the Israelite, and he objected fiercely to what was decided by the rabbis of New Orleans. And his feeling was that not only the rabbis should not take action against those who perform circumcision on the children of who had a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, but on the contrary, that they should encourage it. And there was a discussion that went back and forth between Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who objected to the decree of the rabbis of New Orleans, and Reb Azriel Hiltzheimer, who was the head of the rabbinical seminary in Berlin. Reb Azriel Hiltzheimer was a Talmud
it wasn't Rav Shimshon Hirsch, was it?
Not Rav Shimshon Hirsch. No. He, Israel Hiltzheimer was a contemporary and maybe older than Rav Shimshon Hirsch. He was so Rav Israel Hiltzheimer disagreed with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, and he supported the Rabbanim. He supported the Rabbanim in New Orleans. Now, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer gave three reasons why he felt it was okay. But before I go into the three reasons, and I'm somewhat sympathetic to the philosophical approach of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, but I think that today I would not favor his what he said, because today people sometimes are identified as being Jewish on the basis of the fact that there is a certificate. Whether halachically that's correct or halachically it's not correct is a separate issue. But sometimes having a bris milah sometimes is used as an indication and as proof that somebody was Jewish. So, and also at times, I know of some cases that children went through, had a circumcision, and originally they said that the purpose of the circumcision was ultimately to do Geirus Katan on the child. And it seems that in many of these cases, it was Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger that was the teacher of Reb Israel Hilsheimer. So in many of these cases, they never complete the geiris. They never complete the conversion. And that's a rule in general. A rabbi has to know, when you hear that somebody went through a conversion, you have to verify that they didn't just begin the process of conversion, but the process of conversion was actually completed. I've had the number of cases that came to me also that after I checked, I found out that certain people there whose parents, whose mother was a Gioris, actually just began the process. She started attending classes, but the Gioris was never completed. So one has to be very, very careful and not make any assumptions when it comes to conversion. And because of this, while the logic of Reb Zvi Hirsch Kalischer is sound to a certain degree, but the application today, I think, it would not be proper. Anyway, so Reb Zvi Hirsch Kalischer, he gave three reasons as to why he felt that the geiris, that the moalim should perform bris milah on these children. And it goes without saying that unless you know for sure about it's going to culminate in geiris, and in these cases they certainly couldn't be sure about it, because the mothers clearly objected to completing the geiris process, you can't make a bracha. Anyway, so Reb Zvi Hirsch Kalischer gave three reasons. One reason he gave is because from the Rambam it appears that if somebody, a non-Jew, who recognizes the Torah, wants bris milah to be performed, either on him or on his child. This is in the Tshuva Sarambam. There's a Tshuva Sarambam to this effect. So if it's done because they recognize the significance of the Torah. So the Tshuva Sarambam is, the Rambam says that there is a mitzvah of bris milah. He has schar, he has reward, but it's not like the reward of a Jew, that goes without saying. And the Rambam is in a number of places, but he specifically talks about the mitzvah of bris milah in his tshuvas. Again, today, I would never do such a thing. Today, because if somebody undergoes a bris milah with a moel, so there will be an assumption. There could be a faulty assumption. It might be accepted in the community that this child is Jewish. But this is what the Rambam mentioned, that if it's done because of recognition of the significance of the Torah, not for other purposes, but if it's done because of recognition of the significance of the Torah, and because the person, the non-Jew, wants to perform the mitzvah of bris milah, so there is actually a mitzvah to do it. Obviously, brachas cannot be recited on it. But this is one explanation that Reb Zvi Hirsch Kalischer gave. There's a second explanation that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer gave, and the second explanation is, and from the Rambam there appears to be some basis to this. Many years ago, probably 10 years ago, there was a whole dispute about this. The question is, in other words, halachically, we try to discourage a person from undergoing geirus. So we try to discourage a person from undergoing geirus. We're docha them. We push them. The Medrash seems to say three times. The Piske Halacha do not mention a number of times. But we say to them, why do you want to undergo conversion? And you know how bad the situation is for the Jewish people at this time. And in any case, if the father is Jewish, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer said there is a special mitzvah in allowing them or in giving them the opportunity to convert. There's a special mitzvah in giving them the opportunity to convert. And he said, if you don't do the bris milah while the child is yet a baby, you have to realize in those days they probably did not have the painkillers that we have today. So he says, and why? Because the child is a Zerah Kodesh. He comes from a holy seed. There's a special mitzvah in enabling a child whose father was Jewish to undergo conversion. And consequently, he said, the Moalim should perform the Bris Milah because if they do not perform the Bris Milah when they are young babies, you are closing the door to a large extent on their desire to become Jewish later on because of the pain and the risk that is involved in the geirus, that would be involved in the circumcision that they would take when they're older. So, and from the Rambam, it appears that there is a basis for this, because the Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Bia, the Rambam talks about a child that has an intermarriage. So he is held responsible for the way he learns the pasuk. There's all kinds of drushes. Ki yasir es bincha machurai. That's the halacha that we learn out, that the being Jewish is dependent upon the mother. So from the Rambam, it seems that there is a prohibition that a child born from a mixed marriage where the father was Jewish and the mother was not Jewish. So from the Rambam, it appears that he says there is a loss involved here that is perhaps greater than other marriage relationships that are prohibited. He says, what is it? He says, because the child is being removed from God, from closeness to God. And the same thing is mentioned in regard to somebody who has relations with a shivcha, with a maidservant. And there they use the expression, the Rambam uses the expression Zerah Kodesh, because you took Zerah Kodesh, a holy seed, and you took it away. You took it away from God. So when you undergo Geiris, and it's interesting that the Rugged Shaver suggests that the prohibition, Kiyosir Spincha Marchurai, because you remove the child from me, that is an ongoing prohibition. It's not a one-time prohibition, but it's ongoing. Consequently, if we have conversion, so we are limiting that prohibition, because we couldn't say that the child is constantly away from God if later on the child undergoes, if the child, once the child undergoes Geiris and becomes part of Klal Yisrael, becomes part of the Jewish people. So that's the that's what the Rambam says there. And then Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer suggests a third approach, why he feels that the Rabbanim, the rabbis in Louisiana, in New Orleans, made a mistake. He said, because he said, we really, the Torah has a positive attitude towards Geiris. In other words, we should be happy when people undergo conversion. And it's true that we tend to dissuade a Geir, but that's only to find out that the Geir really will remain committed. But it's not that we don't want Geir. But on the contrary, we want Geir. Consequently, he says, we don't want to make it extra difficult for the child to later on undergo conversion. And unless you'll do bris milah, unless you will do the circumcision when he's a young baby, to a certain degree, you will be closing the door on him. That was his expression. To undergo conversion. And Reb Israel Hildesheimer, he disagreed with all three premises. First of all, he felt that there is no mitzvah to do bris milah on a child who's not Jewish. On the contrary, he felt that it's usher, prohibited. And I didn't see it inside, when the Rambam says there is a mitzvah, yet Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, that a ger toshav, that there is a mitzvah for him to perform the mitzvahs of the Torah. He's not required to, but if he chooses to do it, he has schar, he has a reward. So I was told that my uncle and Ramosha Feinstein both said that applies to the rational mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs, like bris milah, they didn't say bris milah, the ritualistic mitzvahs, it doesn't apply. I had a long discussion, actually more than one discussion, with Hagon Reb Aaron Felder Zatzal, who was from the closest Talmidim to Reb Moshe Feinstein. And I showed him the Tshuvas HaRambam that the Rambam says that it applies to Bris Milah. So he agreed with me. We were having a discussion about the ger that was going through. Not, no one should draw any conclusions, but this was just in the course of discussion. A ger who undergoes geiris in the middle of Sfiras Omer. So from the time of his geiris, if he counted beforehand, he can continue counting with a bracha, or he can't continue counting with a bracha. So we were discussing it from that perspective. And I mentioned to him the Tshuvas HaRambam and other places where the Rambam mentions this type of halacha. And he seemed to agree with me. And as a matter of fact, he repeated the Tshuvas HaRambam. He repeated this Tshuvas HaRambam that even in regard to ritualistic mitzvahs. Now, there might be some mitzvahs that are exceptions, but the Rambam in his Tshuvos explicitly mentions Bris Milah. So he disagreed with the premise of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, he also disagreed about the idea of Zerah Kadosh, that we should go out of our way to encourage, but of course there are limitations of that. That doesn't mean we proselytize, but we should, in a sense, give special care to enable somebody, to enable someone whose father is Jewish to undergo geiris. And this is, he disagreed with that. And many, many people disagreed with the psak of Rav Eliashiv on this matter. So it was a machlokes, a disagreement that actually took place, not just in the late 1800s, but it was a disagreement that took place quite recently. And he also disagreed with the premise of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer that we should want people to undergo geiris. He felt, of course, once they go through geiris, there's the mitzvah abbas ager. But he said we should have no desire, so to say, to look forward to people doing geiris. Certainly, he's talking about until after the commitment has been completely established. So it seems that, so according to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, the only reason we're docha, that we push somebody, it's not a halacha, it's not a law of pushing somebody away. But we do whatever is necessary to ascertain that the person who is undergoing geiris, who is undergoing conversion, is really committed to that which the obligations that the geiris imposes upon him. So, but in theory, from the very beginning, we should have a positive attitude towards geiris. This was the opinion of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. However, Rabbi Israel Hilzheimer, he felt no. There is actually a law that in itself, that we're docha, we push him off. We don't encourage him. We don't make it easier. Once he undergoes the geiris, then we have to have a very positive attitude. It could be, I don't know, but a person could suggest that actually it's dependent, because the halach is brought down that when we talk to the potential ger, we tell him about the punishments that are involved in non-observance. And also we tell him at the end about the reward for the observance of mitzvahs and the special role that the Jewish people have in the world. But the poskim, on the basis of the simple reading of the Gemara in Yevamos, they understand that that's talking before, that that's talking before the person actually does the geiris, right before he does the geiris. However, in the Maseches Gerim, which is part of the Maseches Kanas, there it's mentioned that we tell about the special role that the Jewish people have, and about Olam Haba, the world to come. We tell them after their conversion. It would seem that the Maseches Gerim has the opinion of Reb Israel Hilsheimer. And our Gemara, of course, it could be explained in accordance with both opinions, but it could be understood very easily according to the opinion of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalish. Okay, but in any case, so we saw that what Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalish said, that we have to have a positive attitude towards geiris. And the whole reason, there is a halacha that we try to discourage, is not because we want to discourage him. It's not a halacha of wanting to discourage him. It's a halacha of simply finding out if he is really determined, if he is really determined to be committed to the obligations of being a Jew, to the obligations of the Torah. And as the Gemara says, if he's not going to, some part of the reason is, if he doesn't want to follow through, it's better that he decide beforehand not to follow through. So now, if we say like Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, so we can understand this Rashi. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well who Yisro was. Yisro was his father-in-law. Moshe Rabbeinu lived with Yisro for many years. The Medrash tells us that from the way Yisro acted towards Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn a halacha that if somebody takes somebody into his house and he feeds him and he clothes him and takes care of all his needs, he's chayev bichvodo. He has a greater obligation of showing him respect than one has to showing respect to his parents. And who do we learn that out from? We learned that out from the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro. So Moshe Rabbeinu certainly knew Yisro very well. So he knew he did not have to be doche. He did not have to push him off. Now, but we cannot rely on that when it comes to conversions today. Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well. But I don't know. Not that I don't know. I do know. We certainly do not have the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting. Tosfos says that Hillel, how was Hillel able to convert Gerim, who were interested in going through conversion for ulterior motives, because Hillel knew that at the end, these people will do it for the right reasons. Rav Elyashiv, I was told that Rav Elyashiv said that he says, today we're not on the level of Hillel. Okay, from some poskim, no one says that we are on the level of Hillel, but some say that to determine one's motive for Geiris, that even Batei Dinim today can evaluate, assuming that they do it l'shem shamayim. But clearly, the application not to push off at all, on the contrary, to the degree to initiate, to encourage, that only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do with Yisro. So we can understand, according to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, this Rashi very easily. However, according to Rav Israel Hilsheimer, that we constantly have to be docha to push off. So how is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to encourage Yisro, the chavava l'Torah, to bring close to Torah, if we understand that means conversion. So I think we could explain l'chavava l'Torah because there are a number of different texts in the Rambam, but the Rambam talks about a ger toshav. And he, according to the preferred text, which is not the common text we have, the Rambam makes a distinction between chachamehem, those who observe, those among the non-Jews who observe the seven Noahite mitzvos, and those who observe because they feel that it's proper to observe them, not because it's mentioned in the Torah that was given to the Jewish people, but they feel logically this should be observed. That's chachameihem, the wise ones among them. But then there is chasidei umos olam, the pious ones among the nations of the world. And the pious ones among the nations of the world, they observe the shiva mitzvos b'nei Noach, because the obligation of the shiva mitzvos b'nei Noach has a basis and is included in the Torah that God gave the Jewish people. So we could suggest, even if we say that this Rashi is talking before the actual conversion, initially we could say that perhaps he was trying to, he was not initiating to inspire Yisro to go to conversion. regular conversion, but he was inspiring him to be from the Hasidim HaSolam. But ultimately, when the Torah tells us that Yisro brought Karbonos, and according to the Ramban, that was somewhat later, the bringing of Karbonos. So Yisro decided by himself to undergo conversion. But it's more than just that. Regarding the mitzvah of Hakel, in Parshas Vayelech, the mitzvah of Hakel, all the Jewish people would come in the year after the Shemitah year. This year is a Shemitah year. Obviously, we don't do it today. They would come to the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot, and the king would read parts of Chumash Dvarim to them. And among those that was a mitzvah for them to come was Gercha. Your Gerer. The simple explanation, your Gerer. Those who underwent conversion, they had to participate. However, the Ibn Ezra understands Gercha not to be a Ger Tzedek, not to be someone who underwent the full conversion and became a full Jew. But Gercha is somebody who stood in front of a bezdin of three. And he said that he accepts the seven mitzvos of the Bnei Noach. And so, and the Ibn Ezra said, why did the Torah require that this Ger Toshav, he's not Jewish, but he accepted the mitzvahs of the Torah. He accepted the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Noah because they're mentioned in the Torah. So the Ibn Ezra says, Ula Yisyahed. Because he might decide, and the word ulai is usually used to say, is used when it's something that we want. Eliezer wanted Yitzchak to marry his daughter. And he didn't want, originally, to go find... another girl from Avraham's family to marry Yitzchak. So he asked Avraham, "Ulai lo yove ha'isha laleches? Ulai, maybe that's what I really would want." So ulai, as opposed to pen, means maybe, and I would want it to be that way. And the Ibn Ezra says, ulai yisyahed. Perhaps he will become Jewish. Now, according to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, we can understand this very well. Because we want people to undergo experiences. We don't do it directly to them, but we want them to undergo experiences that will come to lead them to want to become Jewish. But we could suggest, even according to Rabbi Israel Hilsheimer, we could suggest that once somebody becomes from Chassidei Umos Olam, and once he stands and perhaps he stands in front of a bezdin and accepts the seven mitzvos of Bnei Noach. So then there is no that type of person. We, on the contrary, we could encourage him to undergo conversion. That type of person we could encourage to undergo conversion. So we could suggest that according to Reb Rabbi Israel Hilsheimer, if we accept the logic of Rabbi Israel Hilsheimer, we could say that Moshe was trying to encourage Yisro, although Yisro, it seems, had that determination anyway, to undergo, to be a full Ger Toshav, but not a Ger Tzedek. A Ger that accepts fully and is committed to observe the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach that was given to Noah and to Adam Rishon. And at that point, when he identifies with the Jewish people, so it could be that we're allowed to encourage him and inspire him to go through a complete conversion. So this is one way. And it's interesting, there are two texts in the Tshuvas HaRambam that the Rambam, in discussing whether one is allowed to teach a guy, a non-Jew, Torah. So he distinguishes, depending on the circumstances, I don't want to go into all the details, he distinguishes between someone who doesn't believe in the Torah and someone who does believe, a guy, a non-Jew that believes in the Torah, but doesn't, is not yet ready, it doesn't fully understand the Torah. Can we explain to them the correct explanation of the Torah in accordance with our tradition? And the Rambam says that with regard to those who respect the Torah and have a proper regard for the Torah, under certain circumstances, again, depending on the different texts of the Tshuvas HaRambam, of the translation of the Tshuvas HaRambam, one is allowed to teach those non-Jews who have the proper respect for the Torah what the correct explanation of the Torah is. And in one text, it was not the text that we had till recently, but in one text of the Tshuvas HaRambam, it seems that after they became aware of this text, this seems to be the correct text, but I can't say that with certainty. The Rambam uses the same expression, Ulai Yisyahet. Maybe as a result of learning the correct explanation of the Torah, he will undergo conversion and become Jewish. It's well known that one of the letters that the Rambam wrote to his son, so the Rambam advocates that he should learn the Ibn Ezra's Perish on Chumash. I don't know whether that was what inspired the Rambam to say that, if in fact the Rambam actually said it. But in any case, and there are those who disagree clearly with Ibn Ezra on this, but we see clearly that at least in regard to Ger Toshav, and perhaps even before one became a real Ger Toshav, Ibn Ezra, and we see it in Ezra also, toward the end of Ezra, that Ibn Ezra had a somewhat more positive attitude towards accepting people as gerim, not to push people away, to the degree that the other mefarshim suggest, where we know they really are dedicated to the Jewish faith, not to push them away from undergoing gerus. So according to one text in the Tshuvas HaRambam, the Rambam seems to agree, and there, we're not talking about somebody, Rambam's talking in his day, you didn't have Ger Toshav who stood in front of a Bezdin. The Rambam is talking about someone who's interested in observing the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the seven commandments that was given to the children of Noach, and he has a proper regard and respect for the Torah. That's who the Rambam is talking about. So we see that the Rambam was inclined to the approach of Rav Azriel Hilsheimer, according to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Okay, so now, but there is, we could suggest, as some seem to suggest, from Yonas and Ben Aziel, it appears that actually at this point, Yisro already underwent conversion. So then the question is, what's the idea of Chavalo Torah? You could say he wanted to tell them about the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. The idea of Chavalo Torah, that implies an idea that he wants to bring him into the Jewish community to undergo Geirus. But for many Mefarshim, it seems that already, that at least in the Pasuk beforehand, when they bowed down to each other, according to Yonas and Ben Aziel, he already went through conversion. Because Vayishalu ish l'reyehu l'shalom l'reyehu. So many explain l'reyehu that it was his equal. In what sense was Moshe and Yisro equal? Moshe and Yisro were equal in the fact that they were both Jews. That's what it seems from Yonas and Ben Aziel. So what's the idea? By Yisapra Moshe L'chosno, the next pasuk, and Rashi tells us L'chavvo L'torah. How are we to understand that? But it's very interesting. The Torah tells us in the first pasuk in this week's Sedra, by Yishma Yisrael Kohen Midian Chosein Moshe. So the word Yisrael, so Rashi says he had seven names. One was Yeser. Why did he have the name Yeser? Because he added a portion to the Torah. Because he suggested to Moshe about making judges, a whole set, a cold court system, that Moshe shouldn't judge every case himself. And then, why Yisro? They added a Vav. They added a Vav to his name when he went through conversion. That's very strange. So from this medrash, it appears that he added a parsha to the Torah before he underwent conversion, that he played a role in adding a parsha to the Torah. Before he underwent conversion. And then we say he added a parsha to the Torah. It doesn't just mean that there was a parsha that had his name attached to it, that dealt with him. We have about many non-Jews parshas in the Torah. We don't say they added a parsha to the Torah. So to a certain degree, the Torah is giving him credit for the parsha. The Torah is something that was given to Jewish people, as I mentioned before. And even when non-Jew is committed to the Torah, it, on an ideal level, it has to be the commitment to the Torah that was given to the Jewish people. So, and many of the Farshim, the Bushorah, they're very troubled. How is it possible that he should have the name Yeser? That he should add a portion to the Torah before he underwent conversion. But I think the answer is very simple. The Rambam talks about watch the Gerim, that we are not sure if they were really committed when they underwent conversion. We have to see how they act after their conversion. And some say that if they don't act properly after their conversion, and I think it's very difficult to say that, although many great people said that, that they wouldn't be considered Jewish anymore. However, others say that according to the Rambam, it's just we don't bring them close. We don't treat them in the same way if they do not act properly after their conversion. Because, you know, when it comes to a convert, you have to give them special respect. You have to give them special love. Avas Ager. A love for a ger. For somebody who undergoes conversion. But if he doesn't act properly, so it could be that mitzvah doesn't apply to him. So what's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is there is an act of conversion and there's a mitzvah of conversion. The act of conversion is bris milah, having the circumcision, going into the mikveh, but there is a mitzvah of conversion also. Matter of fact, the Ramban, it's very interesting, the Ramban says that if a woman undergoes conversion while she's pregnant, the child's bris milah is a bris milah of conversion. And they all the mafarshim bring all kinds of proof that he's Jewish from the moment he's born. So why does the Ramban say that the bris milah, the circumcision that he has after he's born, is a circumcision of bris milah? But the answer I heard from my father, and I see my uncle, and Igros HaGrid mentions it, that besides the law of conversion, what makes a person a convert, there's a mitzvah of conversion. A convert, if he acts properly, fulfills the mitzvah of having undergone conversion. But the mitzvah is not fulfilled when he sticks his hair out, when his head comes up out of the mikveh. That's when he becomes a Jew. The mitzvah of undergoing conversion, we could suggest, that's fulfilled after it becomes established that he lives up to the mandate of being a Jew. So I think that's what we could say. By Yishma Yisro. Yisro was Jewish already. He was able to add a portion to the Torah. But it was not proved conclusively that he fulfilled the mitzvah of conversion until he lived the life to a certain degree. He lived the life of a Jew. So it's very interesting, the expression of Rashi, the expression of Rashi, Yisro. When did he get the name Yisro with the vav l'shenizgayer? When he underwent conversion, b'tiyim hamitzvos, and he fulfilled the mitzvos. Why didn't he just say when he underwent conversion? The answer is the mitzvah of conversion is only fulfilled if you, after the conversion, you live the life that you committed yourself to when you underwent conversion. How long? That varies, but it probably varies. But when it becomes established, when it's clear that you're living up to the mandate of conversion. So this is the, so we could suggest That's why it says Lakarva Latorah, because to a certain degree, the mandate, the halachas of conversion even continue after the conversion takes place until it's Shnis Gaya B'Kiyem HaMitzvos. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to reinforce not only the observance of the, not only the fact that he underwent conversion, but Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to help him, to reinforce, to inspire him, to fulfill the mitzvah of being a convert in the maximum way. La'achar shenis gayer v'kiyem ha-mitzvos, and fulfill the mitzvos. So that's another way we could explain this Rashi. Okay.
Okay, thank you. So one question is, and there's similar kind of, one is, according to Rashi Hirsch Kalischer, by allowing the mole to do a bris, doesn't that take away a deterrent from intermarriage?
I think that has to be evaluated. Like I said, today I would never say what Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, even though I think the logic of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer is correct. That has to be evaluated on the circumstance of the individual situation and the place and the time. Obviously, we do not try to encourage, and we don't want to do anything. We don't want to do anything that will encourage intermarriage. That we don't want to do. In other words, let's say many of the poskim said that you should show a special friendship to today, a special friendship to a non-Jewish lady or their children, whose husband and father is Jewish. According to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, to encourage them eventually to undergo geiris, to undergo conversion. And other poskim say, on the contrary, you have to cut off from them completely. And my feeling is that depends on the individual situation, you know, and everything has to be evaluated. But let's say if there's a fear, this, sometimes there is this fear that, let's say, cousins might become, might have a lighter attitude to intermarriage, seeing what their uncle did or whatever it is. I'm only mentioning that because that were cases that were mentioned to me. So, okay, if that's the situation, that's the situation. You know, intermarriage, unfortunately, today has become somewhat accepted. And the reason everybody understands, many, many people have an uncle who intermarried. So you have to evaluate the individual situation. I know of one, I mean, he passed away many years ago already. There was one great Rav on the East Coast whose daughter intermarried. And he cut himself off from his daughter, but he arranged that one of his other daughters should have a relationship with that daughter. And so you have to evaluate that he was trying to do both at the same time. So you have to evaluate the individual situation. And sometimes that makes that becomes very difficult, you know, to do it. That's something that a person should be shoel eitzah. I know there were... there was one lady who underwent conversion, and she was she had a relationship with the children from the first marriage, and she had a relationship with the children from the second marriage, from the Jewish marriage, but she limited the involvement that the children from both marriages had. because she was concerned about the impact and the influence that would be there. So again, that's something that has to be evaluated. And my feeling is it wouldn't be problematic for a person to talk with their rabbi, perhaps a religious psychologist, a pediatric psychologist, how to handle that situation. Each case is different.
Yeah, I don't have much more time, but there's two questions here. One is, how did Geras work prior to a Beis Din, like Tzipora or Basia Bas Paro?
By the way, I discussed that in a previous year, but there'll be too long of a discussion. Maybe we'll have a chance. I'll discuss it.
Did we encourage or discourage the Eir of Rav from joining us?
I was going to discuss it, but it's late. We discouraged it. The Rambam is very clear that we should have discouraged the Eir of Rav, and the Rambam says that's why we have to be careful to see who we convert. I was planning on discussing that and many other topics connected with this, but you know, I can't go forever here. So I'll give there'll be another shiur that we will discuss it. Bli neder.
Okay, so we'll end it here. Thank you everyone for being here. Thank you, Rebbe, for the shiur.